If you're 60 years old today, there's a good chance you'll live to 100. Are you prepared? Welcome to Your Longest Life, the podcast all about exploring how we can live our best life as we age. Here's your host, Ian Thompson.
All right. Good morning. This is Ian Thompson. I am the host of the podcast called Your Longest Life, How to Live Your Best Life to 100 and Beyond. You know that, Don? One of the highest, fastest growing segments of the population, not in numbers, but it's people over 100. Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So my guest today I just watched David Attenborough on the weekend. 93 years old. Fantastic. He'll live well past 100. So you're right on the mark.
Yeah. So my guest today is Don Tamlin. Don is the co-creator of Everything Retirement. Living Life Begins Now. I love that. I love that headline. And basically, Don, it's a website about everything retirement, just as you say.
Yeah, you know, Ian, we started the project about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's really a collaboration with a couple other people across Canada. They thought and felt that retirement was much more than just the money side. You know, my day job is with a credit union in BC, in British Columbia, based out of Nanaimo. But, you know, we got into a conversation one day, and, you know, as a lot of things get created, you know, it might have been over a pint.
It might have been.
But, you know, we felt the same. We really thought that there was a lot more to retirement than just the money side. And we felt that there was tons of research out there that really advocated on having a conversation that's more than money. Financial institutions across Canada, around the globe, actually really do a good job on providing you tools, resources, on how much do you need, how much you got, and what's it going to do for me.
Right.
But holy man, there's a whole lot more than just that. So We got together and we created Everything Retirement, powered by a small group of people, a group of young guys out of Pickering, Ontario, actually. We just got in a room actually in Winnipeg. We flew to Winnipeg and we all got together.
Great.
Out at the airport. And we thought, you know what, there is a great conversation and there's a great opportunity here because, you know, there's 1,000 people in Canada a day that turn 65. There's 10,000 in the U.S. that turn 65 each and every day. And there's a lot of need out there. And the conversation is robust and it's sincere and it's authentic. And we'd like to be leaders in that and help people along the way. So Everything Retirement was born over 3 years ago and we're quite proud of it. Powered by a website, like you said, mainly on Facebook, Instagram, and we've got just nearly 7,000 followers on Facebook now. You know, our last post got about 160,000 views, so it is a going concern, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, I think one of the things that that I'm reading and seeing is that people are, in great terms, probably going to be retired longer than they worked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That statement in itself makes you think, wow, geez, what am I going to do, you know, longer? And I'm going to be healthier.
Yeah, way healthier. Way healthier. You know, and so, you know, retirement comes in many phases. It, you know, initially people will say, well, there's a retirement and there's, you know, the old school of retirement, like my dad did to the lazy boy, is far gone. It's not the lazy boy anymore. It's more time in the garden, more time with grandkids, if grandkids are around, or by Zoom with the grandchildren. But it is about the next phase. It's and people may, AKA, retire in many different facets. They may retire into selling real estate, you know, into the future. They may semi-retire into something else, or might go to Home Depot just for that socialization. Walmart needs greeters, and they do a fantastic job. So there's many phases of retirement before somebody actually totally moves into that place of, you know what, I don't have to show up at a given time anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just will live and enjoy life. And it may look different. It looks different to absolutely everybody. And that is the cool thing about the conversation of retirement. So it's a lot of fun.
How do you think COVID has changed, if you think it has changed, the thinking of people about retiring?
You know, we just had a conversation with that with a couple of colleagues of mine. It's because I thought, you know, COVID, and especially with, you know, a lot of people think that retirement's all about the money side. And with the gyrations in the market this time last year, I would have thought that, you know what, retirement has slowed down for people, that next step. Mm-hmm. But it actually, he reminded me, though, it's actually the opposite. A lot of people actually retire in phases. So if you're partnered up, or if you got a spouse, you may take a look at a 2-year window between retirements. So somebody that had already been retired in the house now has that person working at home beside them and going, well, why don't you actually retire? So people are actually retiring and they are taking that next step. It hasn't really slowed people down. It might have actually sped it up because they see the value.
Might have actually had more people.
Yeah, and I think it has actually sped it up. And, you know, acknowledging that there is something else to live towards, there is the connections with people that is hugely important. But then again, there's the other side of things that why in the heck am I going to retire if I can't go anywhere? So there are the two faces, but we see actually people, more people actually retiring and taking that next step, whatever that may be, because now, and we did an ebook on a seniorpreneur initiative where creating those home-based businesses, taking your passion and actually creating a business now, creating a digital business because you can actually work at home and connect with people all around the world at a moment's notice where we were maybe hesitant before, but man, you can just do it. You can really do it at a very low cost now, if no cost, and keep yourself active and busy. So it's, you know, I think there's just as many more people retiring because they're retiring something to something, but there are some of my colleagues and my friends out there going, what the heck am I going to retire for? I can't travel and I can't do this. So I'll just delay a year, but they're really planning. There could be a mass exodus, you know, this time next year, because now the world's opening up. There is the travel ability and there is that hope of getting out of this COVID hangover per se. So there's both, but I think the retirement has not slowed down at all.
Something else that I was reading about, I wanted to get your thought on ageism. So, you know, I'm 65, 67, whatever, and I decide to stay in the workplace. How does the employer need to adjust their thinking and keep these people who would have been gone years ago?
Yeah, that, you know, that's
engaged.
Yeah, exactly. And you know that. So I'll start with a story because this is, I think, a really good example. So Elaine, my sister, hi Elaine, by the way, hopefully you're going to tune into the show. I use Elaine as an example quite a bit. She, Walmart employee for many, many years, worked, I don't know, it was like 25 or 30 years, many different jobs, retired for the first time, moved to a community that was near the grandkids and one of her children. Quite typical, sold a house, cashed out, moved there. But then she wanted something to do. So she got to know these people in a PharmaSave store, which she worked in a drug portion of the Walmart. And so she went back to work and they really accepted her. And now it was because she was early 60s at that time. She came with all this knowledge and she was able to train and give her experience to the younger people, to the younger staff that were inside of that small PharmaSave in small town Alberta. So, and then you fast forward and going, well, Elaine wants a little bit more time off. So I coached Elaine and said, you know what? They really need you. Like, you are dependable. You show up each and every day. You've got tools, resources, knowledge. You have value. So you know what, Elaine? Maybe you tell them you work from January or February to May, and I'll see you again next year. And so where ageism, your question is that I think as we get more experienced, we come with value and we may not understand our value that we can bring to a small business. And so I think the employers will look to us as that experience, reliable, knowledge-based transfer that is hugely valuable. You know, I'm a part of an organization. We have 600 employees and there's a huge core that are in that retirement zone of 50 to 60, 62, 63. So we're hugely worried about that knowledge going, and that knowledge transfer is so key. So as people stay within the workforce a little bit longer, it's good for the employer to leave that knowledge to somebody else. And I think there's more of an acceptance for the employers out there in the world of having those people that can transfer their knowledge. And now with us being able to work from home for a lot of the cases, it's more, I think some of the older workers may stick around a little bit longer to to share that knowledge and balance out that home life and work life and that transition, I think is going to be paramount, and it's going to be fantastic for, I think it's going to benefit everybody. It's going to be a real good value to everybody around, and especially for those ones in the organizations that will be able to learn from those people with more experience.
So maybe it's the people that I'm talking about that maybe don't have the self-confidence that they should have, that you have a lot more than you think you have, and you can negotiate with some better job process for the next 2 or 3 years, however long you want to work.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was talking with my brother. I was telling you earlier that you pulp mill guy for 40 years, and he has all the knowledge of that organization, all the little mechanics in the boiler room. He's got all that stuff that the new person that came on for a couple through is not going to understand. And so I was trying to, you know, a little bit of coaching on go to the organization and get all that knowledge on paper or get it instilled. And so we have so much knowledge as we have got experience that can be shared with the organizations. And I think we're in the position and ability to share that with the organization. And I think there's the ability, the want and the need of the organization to listen to what is possible. And it may be a great avenue. So for that person that's got, you know, 20, 30 years with an organization, you know, and you don't want to leave the door totally, think about maybe what you really would like to do for the next year and a half or 2 years and say, you know what, I can do this on a contract. I can provide this kind of value back to the organization without leaving the door, because that's very tough. I couldn't even imagine that for myself. Just shutting that door and then going, oh, now what? But that could be a good phase in for moving forward into the future. Yeah.
When you talk about you couldn't imagine just closing the door and leaving, I think that the research from the blue zones, which of course you know about, is that people have that ikigai, they call it, right? Like, what am I actually going to do when I'm retired? I'm going to live longer. That's the good news. The bad news is I'm going to live longer. And when I'm 70 and 80 and I'm healthy, how can everything retirement help people figure that out for themselves about what am I actually going to, what's my goal every day?
Yeah. You know, waking up with a purpose.
Yeah.
Richard Leader wrote a book, Life Reimagined. He's from the United States. Fantastic book. Richard is waking up with a purpose and having some courage and curiosity, he says. And I think that is so profound in you know, waking up with a purpose and what you're going to do every morning. And I know in this COVID landscape, it's very difficult. I've got friends that are retired and they're waking up and it's like Groundhog Day. We're all waking up. It's Groundhog Day. You want it to finally end. Please let this end. But we've got a lot of work to do yet. Vaccinations, the masks, the social distancing. But, you know, I think there's this purpose of being self aware of needing that purpose, having the curiosity to learn new things as well. You know, setting some goals for yourself and understanding what is possible, or just learning new things as well about maybe yourself or maybe of a hobby or a task that you've always wanted. And really that curiosity aspect and having that courage to actually move forward and make a step and to learn something new and to move forward. And where everything retirement comes in, as we talk about things that are, you know, everything as well as the money side. So we're not going to, you know, money is important in retirement, but, you know, we're going to talk about your wellness, your physical, mental wellness is huge. And being self-aware of that, we're going to talk about your work time replacement. So getting prepared for that work replacement time, we're going to talk about your relationships. It's not the quantity of relationships and the likes that you have on Facebook, but it's the quality of relationships. I just wrote a blog post that we posted today on May 11th. It talks about the relationships and getting ready for retirement and the fact that we need the quality of relationships moving into our older years so that we can actually lessen that impact of ageism. Because if you can have solid relationships in your 50s and 60s, it lessens the pain of aches and pains down into your 60s and 70s. And Richard Waldinger from Harvard, Robert Waldinger, sorry, from Harvard is leading a study on happiness. I would urge you to check out the blog. It's a fantastic research that he's done, started since the 1930s. And he'd be a great guest on this show because he speaks really, there's research in behind what it means to be happy and the quality of relationships, period, and nothing further. So I think, you know, as far as you know, moving forward, it's about learning and self-learning and taking an interest, because, you know, everything in retirement is there for things as well as the money, but there's so much more. And we write about, you know, transitioning your business to starting a home-based business, if you, if that is of interest to you, you know, replacing that work time with play time, which is absolutely imperative. You know, the cognitive ability to keep your mind sharp and keep it active. And we write about that. We give you tools and resources around that as well. So right now, our website is full of content, easy to read blog posts that, you know, we're there for those conversations and to stimulate some of that conversation. And, you know, there's lots to be had. And there's, you know, we're trying to build a community of retirees and pre-retirees so that people are ready for that next step, whatever that may be.
I like the ebooks that you have. You know, for people, if they just have one topic, okay, great. I want to do the, I like the seniorpreneur. Talk about that again. I thought that was excellent.
You know, that was an initiative that we started with Jeffrey Bailey, which is he's one of our writers. We have two key writers. They, you know, they're living that retirement lifestyle. So pre-COVID, they would spend their winters. Jeffrey and Allison would spend their winters in Fort Lauderdale, and right. In the summertime, they spend their summers up in the Laurentian Mountains. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Jeffrey wanted to write about this trend in seniorpreneurship. And I've Googled it many times. I'm trying to find it in a dictionary, and it's not there. And so we kind of just coined this phrase, and it's very, very popular in Australia. It's popular around the world. And so it's the whole concept of taking your passion, turning it into a business, or turning your knowledge and leading it into a business. It's all about this next phase and what you're going to do with that phase. And maybe getting ready now in your 50s or 60s before you actually move to that next phase and that transition. It might be a consulting firm that you might take your, you know, you might have been a plumber that you work for somebody else for years, but holy mackerel, you specialized in dishwashers. And how do you, you know, those dishwashers, they leak, right? And so they do. Maybe the expert on how do we stop them from leaking? How do we, you know, so there's niches that you can cut out from your previous experience or passions that you've had with whatever that you may do. Yeah. And create that into a business into the future. Because nowadays, you can create a business that not only your target audience doesn't have to be in your neighborhood or your friends and family that you have to sell to. You can connect with people all over the world now. And you can do that with very little cost. Etsy is a fantastic framework for people. I have a good friend of mine out of Kelowna that she actually sells her mittens. She upcycles wool and she sells them all over the world. Cool. And she does it right out of her home. That she's got a view of the water. She's got an unbelievable setup, but she is busy. Like she is cranking these mittens and these wool balls and all this stuff out. And when Bernie Sanders sits there with his mitten, right. You know, across, she just laps it up and people are buying them from Maine to California. Like it's everywhere. And so she's turned that into a passion of hers. She was a quilter. She's turned it into a home-based business. She posts, she's got her own page on Etsy and away she goes. And so it's really cool. It's quite something that you can do anything from anywhere. And that is the exciting part in this whole world. And the seniorpreneurship is really that conversation about you can try it, you can do things, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to invest millions anymore. You can invest in yourself. It takes some time and energy. Seek out some help as well. There's some accounting help and such, and business planning, and you check it out with your friends and family. But boy, oh boy, there's a way to do that and keep yourself engaged in what you really love to do. And you can do more of it. And you can, it's not just around your neighborhood. It's the world's your oyster.
So it's interesting. So on the one hand, we have the world is our oyster, totally agree. And that's great. On the other hand, you have where you actually live is those deep relationships, whether it's, Rotary, because you and I are both in Rotary, but it could be any kind of organization. But you know these 20 people very well, like more than just a superficial, which is much of our work relationships. We walk down the hall, hey, Ed, how you doing? You know, everybody says, like, people always be like, oh, you know, my kids say, geez, Dad, you know everybody. Well, I know a lot of people, but do I actually know a lot of people? That's different.
That's right.
There's many different levels. And that's what I'm reading about and what I'm hearing you say is that the deeper you go with fewer people, the better.
Oh, without a doubt. And that Harvard study on happiness was a game changer in my world. I was cruising along in life and things were going pretty good. And I wake up one day and I'm going, wow, I know a lot, exactly your point, Ian. I know a lot of people, but how many people can I wake up in the morning and I got a real pain in my knee or something? It's who's going to come over and actually help me out? Not a coworker that, have a conversation with. So it is those deep relationships you have with people. And as you know, and as we get older, more experienced, they don't come without effort.
No.
You know, there's, as Robert Waldinger's found out, those feuds that you have with family members or those places of those difficult times that you've had with friends or family, and then you leave them and they just kind of fester, they kind of in your pit of your stomach and you go, what the heck? Like, we're adults here. Yeah. We need to have that conversation so you can put that to bed, because those pits of just ugliness that's inside of you. And I'm not a psychologist by any stretch, but I've been there. And they are not good, and you have to get through them somehow. And sometimes it's sending a text, and then it's replacing FaceTime instead of screen time. It's actually having a conversation to get over those. Because to your point, you don't need 100 likes on Facebook or 1,000 likes on Facebook. You need those 5 or 12 friends outside of the family, those friends that you can really rely on, and they will help you in your future as far as, and help each other, because there is a community of people that when you can talk together, share a glass of wine together, and aches and pain, and we have deaths and divorces, and those are guaranteed just like taxes, right? So you need those people in your life, but they don't come by not taking any action. And, I've talked with people and, people say, well, I haven't talked to so-and-so for years. Pick up the phone, send them a text. Nowadays, it's easier than ever, right? We connect by Facebook, Instant Messenger or however. It takes effort and it does, you can reap the rewards. Not everybody wants to be your best buddy. You don't want to be everybody's best buddy, but at the same time, you have to be proactive in building those deep relationships. They're mutual as well. Usually, I don't know about you, but in Rotary, for example, I get way more than I give. I've learned, I've met so many cool people.
Yes.
And some are really good friends. I've built a handful of really, really good friends. But you if you come from it, I believe, I'm a big believer that if you give, you will get way more in return. And it just takes a little bit of effort. And having those quality relationships does make life a lot better over the long term. But they have to be on purpose, though. You got to be purposeful on building those relationships, I believe, because they just don't happen naturally. Some do. You're very fortunate if they do.
Yeah.
But more so, you got to be, it's both ways. You got to reach out to get, especially in this COVID world, that we've learned that if we don't have these Zoom meetings or Zoom connections with friends or family, months will go by. I'm trying to connect with some family up in Quesnel right now, and we're just trying to, they're young kids. They got kids, and it's like, it's tough to connect. It's like, but it does take, you got to do things on purpose. And it's, there's just so the great opportunity to build those closeness. And I think you just got to do it with intent. That'll make your life so much better.
It's interesting when you actually make the effort and you do it. The people that you do it are so excited. They're so, this is awesome. Yeah. Why didn't I do this? Or why did we wait 25 years? This is, but maybe there's a reluctance that, geez, it's been so long. They probably think, forget Ian. I haven't heard from him in 28 years. But it's not like that. It's not like that.
No, it isn't. And I think, some of those relationships, and as Robert Waldinger says, in those ones that you've created, maybe there was a feud, maybe there's a misconception, or there was something happened in years gone by, that person probably wants to have a conversation as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked with my some friends or family members that, you know, they had long-term friends years ago. Uh-huh. And I'd say, they probably want to have a coffee with you as well. You all live in the same community. Just send them a note, send them a text, pick up the phone. As you know, you got to make it happen. And that's what I think I challenge people with is, especially in our Everything Retirement conversation, we talk about the need for relationships because our most viewed blog post, and I was wishing I'd have the number for you today, but it was huge, was on loneliness. Because loneliness moving into retirement, loneliness just period, is a epidemic. It is. The UK has a minister of loneliness.
I was just going to say that. Yes.
And so loneliness kills.
It just blows me away. That just is stunning. That if the cabinet is someone, your job is loneliness.
Exactly. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's one in five people in North America will say that they're lonely at some period of time. 20%. So if you were to ask 100 people, have you ever felt lonely? 20 people are going to say yes. And if you think about the COVID landscape now, there's hundreds of thousands of people that have probably not talked to anybody for weeks on end. And I couldn't even imagine that. And so loneliness is the new smoking. You might as well start smoking a pack a day. It's such a bad epidemic. And, you know, if you think about it, the people down the street that have, you know, one of my favorite things to do, and this is corny, but you know, when you're walking down the street in the city or something and people got their nose down.
Yeah.
I love, hey, good morning. And just freaking them out. It's like,
why are you talking to me?
why are you talking to me? Well, because I want to talk to somebody. I just want to say hi. But we do have, it's a huge problem. Huge problem. There was an organization that was created. Part of the inspiration for Everything Retirement was an organization called Village to Village Network in the United States. Mm-hmm. It was formed out of Beacon Hill back in the, I'm going to guess, the 80s, I believe. And so the Village to Village Network was the basis around it was to connect people that were retired with a community so that if Mrs. Beasley maybe needed to have a coffee with somebody and her kids were, you know, across the country, that she could have a coffee with somebody. And then it morphed into, well, you know what, there's a network of young men, probably, you know, 68 or 70 that still have a driver's license. And they'd say, okay, I'm available to take people to a doctor's appointment or to some kind of appointment. So Village to Village Network has now blossomed across the United States. And there's a few groups in Canada as well, but it really is about connecting people in a way that they wouldn't normally connect. And it's morphed now from just, you know, meetups and coffee shops with the older generation, but now it's about connecting via email, connecting via probably this network here on Zoom or Teams or something. So Village to Village is about connecting people because they saw that the loneliness was a huge problem. And it is a chronic problem around the globe. We're not immune to it. And so when we wrote on loneliness in that blog post, because I know it's very important, it was like it's tripled any other blog post that we did. So what's that tell you?
Yeah.
It's people are lonely out there and they want to connect. And we believe that Everything Retirement may be that connector in Canada and around the globe, actually, of those people at one point in time. But loneliness is a huge, huge issue. You know, my mother, you know, passed away in September, but she moved into an assisted living place 10 years prior to that. And when she first moved in without dad had already passed. When she moved in, she kind of hibernated a little bit, right? Didn't know many people, but then holy mackerel, Vera, chatty Kathy, she had 150 new friends, never sat down, exercise every morning. Grabbed her walker towards the end. She was always out to dinner. To her passing day, she passed away with no pain. And she went into her GP. A week later, she was in palliative. A week later, she passed away. But she had no pain along the way. So if I go back to Robert Waldinger's about happiness, she had three kids, four two grandkids, four great grandkids. We were all very close. So she had family and she had the friends at the assisted living place. Okay. So, and she ate right. And she kept moving.
Kept moving.
Right. And she kept socialization. So that lonely, I hope she was never lonely because she had the connections. And so if I look back on Vera's life and especially the last 10 or 15 years, she wasn't lonely. And so I think Robert Waldinger's onto something about the happiness factor. She left this world with no pain, and that is in its own is like, sign me up. And that's part of the research is that if you have a good connection with friends, family, community, and that's what we advocate big time, is that she had that connection. And so it made those tough days towards the end so much easier on her and with us around. And so I think there is a big, something's lining up here, Ian. I don't know what it is, but research says, and then I see this in reality, I'm going, there might be something to this. Mm-hmm. And so I've been trying not to sit on the couch much during this COVID period.
Good for you. Well, Don, this has just been great. Everything Retirement is the website. And let's just wrap up with one more question. I know you're busy. COVID lessons you've learned for retirement. It's been 18 months or however heck long it's been. Seems like 3 years. What, like the top two things that you thought looking forward to the future, what do I need to change?
What do I need to change? I need to slow down. I think one of the slow down. You know, I think you can get overcommitted. I heard that term halfway into COVID. I think people were overcommitted and people slowed down to connect with friends, family, and their community. Okay. I think that's what I really learned. I've been active in many organizations. Yes. I've just kept very, very busy, as you well know, mm-hmm. but it's gotten me to slow down, and I've really enjoyed that. I've spent more time on myself as well, as far as, you know, I've never joined a gym before, but actually, you know, in the fall when we were allowed to go to a gym, I joined the gym and I actually went and I enjoyed it, you know, so it's like,
joined and you actually went. That in itself
I actually
is a huge
went.
Victory. You actually went, right?
I actually went, and you know, that was a huge thing. So the main thing, the number one thing I learned to slow down. I learned to have better conversations with people, whether by Zoom or with friends or family. And the slow down is one. I think the second one is that purposeful connection and reaching out to people, I think, is the number two thing that I learned that, you know, I am going to be more of an advocate of that moving forward. I think it's really, really important, especially for those ones that are very, very close to you, to keep connected, to reach out, because, you know, is this a good time to call? Well, they just want to hear from you. Like, you just want to have a chat. And so those are two things that I'm going to take away out of this COVID craziness, and hopefully not any COVID kilos. So I think we're okay there for now.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thank you, Don. Don Tamlin, the co-creator of Everything Retirement, great website, and thanks for being my guest today.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks for listening to Your Longest Life with Ian Thompson. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe and share it with others. For more info, articles, and to get in touch with Ian, visit yourlongestlife.com.